Yeah, everything that we do means something. The words we use, the actions we take, they all reflect what we believe. And a lot of times, unless you really think about the fact that words really mean a lot, you know, and your actions mean a lot, then there are things that we do every day that we do out of habit. We don't necessarily think a lot about beliefs that we have that aren't necessarily things that we should have. You know, and the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular section is going to be confronting the religious guys. And it's about something that's very basic, but he confronts them and is merciless with them because of what they think and what they believe. Everybody thinks Jesus was, just a real nice, loving, you know, I just think that people just don't read the Bible. They don't get it. Let's just read it here. It says in chapter 15, verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whatsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest profit, be profited by me, and honors not his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" They got offended. The Lord didn't really care. Yeah, everybody's worried about offending everybody these days. I think everybody ought to get a little thicker skin and tell you the truth. But regardless, they came to him saying, "You're not doing that." They had their criticism. They came to him. They're watching what he's doing. They showed up at his meeting. And they came to find fault and to criticize. These people had been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'd been helping them, teaching them, doing miracles. We'll read another record here in a minute. There were hundreds of them. There were lots of them. And it doesn't say hundreds. It just says there was a multitude of them. And they're getting the word, and they're getting miracles. And what do these guys look at? Oh, they're out in the middle of the desert, the wilderness, and they're wondering why they don't wash their hands before they eat. Touch petty. Jesus doesn't even, he says, "What, are you kidding me?" I mean, that's what I would have said. What, are you kidding? He nails them. He turns it around. Your petty, foolish commandments, traditions of men, you're concerned about, but you're not concerned about the things that are really precious to God. And he hits him with the first commandment. You know, honor your father and mother. You know, it says in Ephesians, this was the first commandment with promise. And the reason why is because if you did it in your life, you would be blessed and have a long life. You know, what you sow is what you reap. Everything that you sow comes out. You know, if you plant corn, you get corn. You plant wheat, you get wheat. Some of the plants that I grow get weeds. No. But everything you receive, whatever it is you put in, whatever it is you give is what you get. There's no, and that's spiritually as well as in the physical. God made it and designed it that way. If you take the things of God and you diminish them by your life, your lifestyle, your traditions, then you're the one that is going to reap what you sow. And there's too many things that are in Christianity, there's too many things in the world that take us away from the things that the Lord taught. You know, his words mean something. They were teaching that, hey, you don't really have to honor your mother and father as long as, you know, you're taking care of them a little bit, then you can do whatever you want. You can treat them like little kids, or you can disrespect them as long as you throw them a loaf of bread once in a while. It's not what God wanted. You know, just because you throw your folks, oh, give them a room to live in or a loaf of bread, and then you diminish them in your mind and in your heart and your reverence and your respect, just, it ain't right. It spiritually stinks. And he says to them, this is what the prophets of old were talking about. You have literally, by your own traditions, you worship God in vain. I mean, that's a big leap, isn't it? I mean, think about this. The consequences of their action is that they're wasting their time because they're not really worshiping God anymore. This is a different way to put it. In vain means for nothing. Without value. So it's important. Am I doing what I am doing? Do I live the way I'm supposed to live because this is what the Word of God says? It's what the Scripture says. What God says is important. How I handle my life, I mean, all the different little things. I'm not just talking about religious traditions. We're talking about washing hands here. Is it a good thing to wash hands before you eat? Is it a good thing to wash the dishes? I guess, because I had to do it. I mean, the wife's not here. It's a good thing. But is that what's really important? Is it a good thing to eat good food? That's not what Jesus is talking about. If you're in the desert and you got to eat and you don't have water in a desert, then what would you think you need to do? And eat, because you need to live. Especially when you've been out in the desert 3 days because you want to know the things of God. Things that people think are important, and they I tell you what, they swear by them, but then they go ahead and they break the spiritual things, the weightier matters of life. They break the weightier matters in life. because they are ignorant of the scriptures. And if they're not ignorant, they've dismissed them. What goes into a man's mouth, he says, that don't defile anybody. You know, my granddaughter eats dirt. Okay, grass. Whenever she walks out the backyard, she's picking up something, putting it in her mouth. You ever watch these kids? It ain't going to kill her. It ain't necessarily a good, healthy thing, but it ain't going to kill her. It's what comes out. The Lord says here, whatever you put in your mouth, it's just going through your digestive system and out the sewer. He puts it in the draw. You know, they call it the draw. In our language, you're putting it in one end, it's coming out the other. Those things don't defile anybody. What defiles a man or a woman is what comes out of their life, what comes out of their mouth. Because those are the things that are in the heart. And Jesus was not concerned whether he offended these guys or not. He's much more concerned whether he's standing for God. Most folks today, in case you hadn't noticed, are much more concerned about not offending people. But they're very happy to offend God. And in vain they do worship him. This is just one illustration. Do you follow me? So, it's sad. It's sad. But this is how the Lord sees it. This is how the Lord sees it. Go to Mark 7. Same, just from a different point of view. You know, when you read the Gospels, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all God's word given to us. Matthew is written from the point of view of Jesus Christ being king. Mark is written from the point of view of Jesus Christ as a servant. Luke is written from the point of view as Jesus Christ as a man. And John is the point of view of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So when you read these things, you know, Mark is considered by the intellectuals, and I'm not saying that they're not intellectuals. Mark, they have the oldest Greek text that are around, so they consider Mark to be the standard just because it's the oldest one that's in existence. That doesn't diminish the others. They're from different points of view. You know, Mark has no lineage. Servants have no background, no lineage. It's not important where they came from. They're just servants. Matthew's got the lineage of a king. Luke's got the lineage from Adam as a man. Each one's from a different point of view, and God had it recorded for all four points of view, and the differences are in line with what I just said to you. So when you read them, look at it. This is the servant. And it's the same record. And we'll pick it up in verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why walkest not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders? But they eat bread with unwashed hands." And he said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit I in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God you hold, the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many such like things you do. You lay aside the commandments of God, and you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. And then, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say unto his father and mother, it is korban, that is to say, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught of his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through the traditions which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. This is not just the only issue. This is just one of the many. You can read the Gospels and pick out all the things that Jesus hit the Pharisees with. And he hit them hard. And why did he hit them hard? Because, number one, they were hypocrites. And the Lord hates hypocrites. And I use the word hate. He also knows that they are teaching people to vainly worship God. They are misleading. He calls them false prophets in certain sections of Scripture. Like we'll go back to Matthew chapter 7. These are the people who mislead. And they do it because they want to look good. But they got their own rules, not God's. They got their own words, not God's. Did these folks look religious? Yeah, they looked it. They sounded it. They looked it. They acted it. They probably gave and were, you know, their money and, you know, took care of a few things. Did it look like they were taking care of mom and dad? Oh, yeah, well, whatever. I'm sure they took care, but it wasn't from the heart. It wasn't from honor's point of view. It seems like a little thing, right? Not to God. Things that are important to God, men think, are not so important. Things that men think are important, God could care less about. Like if you washed your cup. You washed your hands. That doesn't mean nothing. Whether you're in one, whether you wear a tie going to church, or whether you wear shorts. A little push in the season today, isn't it? A little chilly out for shorts, but he's hoping for summer to come soon. Yeah, I thought about it the other day. I thought, where are my shorts? And then Thursday showed up, and I said, where's my coat? You know, the things that people think, that just, please, when you think about the things of God, ask yourself the question, is this what God believes is important? Is this what he speaks of? What you eat, what you drink, those are not the important issues. Now, hey, eat and drink what you want. Really, seriously, do whatever the heck you want. You know, whatever you do, good or bad, you get the results of, that's your life, your decisions. I'm not pro or against anything. But God don't care. Just don't put it in the spiritual category of life, because it's not. They made the word of God in none effect. And when he had called, verse 14, all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entered into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house of the people, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without enter into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes out into the draw, and purging all meats? And he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's what's important. What do you got in here? Go to Proverbs 15. All the other rules, the regulations, the nonsense. A family member was asked to go and do a baptism for one of the people in the family. But the particular church wouldn't let him. No, you can't do this because you ain't a part of our church. And hey, you know, that's the way it is. They didn't know, but they had no clue what kind of individual it was that was standing before them. That wasn't important to them, good or bad. I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other. But the one that got to go, all right, they were part of that church in name only, but they curse it, have nothing to do with it, badmouth it, but they could stand there and do it. Just doesn't seem right then. But what's the difference? What's on the outside? The traditions are almost always on the outside. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools, it pours out foolishness. You know, another verse here, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, it pours out evil things. You know, sometimes it's just smart to think before you speak. You ever hear that one? Wonder where that thought came from. Foolish, they just gush stuff. But the righteous, they think. What's right? The ones who live the right way, they think. What are they thinking about? What is right here? What does the Word of God say? fools just talk. It says another place, you know a fool by his much speaking. Now, that doesn't mean if you talk a lot, that means you're a fool. I'm not saying. Think. Just think before you speak, okay? I know I get myself in trouble with that one, too. Think before you speak. In the book of James, in a very powerful section, you know, there's some things that when you say them, you can't take them back. You ever notice that? You know, husbands and wives, they really got a problem with this because you can't get away from the person. You just can't get, I mean, sure, Mary's gone, she's coming back. Thank God she's coming back. But when you say something that is from the heart, when a foolishness, you say things that you don't really mean in the heat of the moment, a foolishness from the heart. It came from the heart. It was in there. I hate you. That was in there. Can't dismiss it. You can't. And people know that. It may have been a bad moment, bad thought, bad life, bad whatever it is, but you know what? That was in there. And you can't take it back. You can change, you can apologize, but you said it. That's why keep your mouth shut when you get angry. Keep your mouth shut when you get hurt. And think. Think. Your life will be 1,000 times more profitable and more prosperous. 1,000 times. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you say and think about the right thing. I was listening to my Kingdom Fest here. I finished editing all the Kingdom Fest teachings that I did. And when everybody was getting sick and stuff, I taught that teaching on marriage. And that was a little surreal for me because it was a little distracting. You know, the church is dropping like flies and I'm teaching the Bible. So I didn't even remember what I taught. But I listened to the teacher. It didn't come out too bad. I was on autopilot. It was good. So, but one of the things that I shared was about marriage. I taught how, really, in a marriage, you're supposed to serve one another, what their need is. It doesn't always come out the way you want it to come out. You know, your spouse doesn't always react or is not in the right place the way you think they ought to be. You know, do you ever think about that? You know, just because I'm in a loving mood doesn't mean the wife is. Just because I want to go out and have fun doesn't mean the wife does. Just because she wants to do something doesn't mean I want to. You know, it just doesn't always work out that way. So you think. You just stop yourself. It's not always about you. And you think. And then you say, would you like to do this? Before you say, I want to do this and we ought to go. How about saying, would you like to do this with me? It's same difference, isn't it? Just that the words mean one is sort of like I'm on autopilot and I want to do what I want to do, and the other one is considering the other person and inviting them to come along. Just a little difference in the phrase, isn't it? One's sort of like, I'm not going to say foolish, but it could be at the wrong time in the wrong place. And the other could be great wisdom. The difference is you have to think. Same thing with the Lord and everything that he does. I mean, God says, don't lie. Right? You know what lying does in a relationship? Lying destroys a relationship. It's worse than saying, I hate you. That's much easier dismissed. Lying takes away the trust. My kid lies to me, all right? And I remember there was an incident, and I remember I got lied to. And I say, well, that's worse than what you did. Because now I can't trust you. It took away years of trust in one moment of time. And it has to be rebuilt. I remember telling my kids constantly, there's nothing that you can do that's going to surprise me. I mean, I wasn't one of these naive parents that thought my kids were like going to be, oh, they're going to be just great. They are great. They're just the best. But their kid, I remember me. All I had to do was look back at my own past. And think of how devious I was, and how weird I was, and how stupid I was, and thought, they got my genes. This is what they're going to be tempted with. Whether they do it or not, they're going to be tempted with this. Nothing. So there was nothing. I said, just don't ever lie to me. Just don't lie to me. Because that's the game changer. I don't think we think about that when we deal with each other. See, that's the game changer. That's more important than whatever offense or stupidity. I broke something on my boss. I'm sorry, I just got, it was like a $5,000 motor, okay? And I heard the block, it was a tractor. And I drove the tractor into a puddle, and when a hot motor hits cold water, steel cracks. So I broke the tractor so I could just, hey, turn the key off, park it where it was, and not know nothing. It definitely crossed my mind. There were several guys that drove that tractor. I don't know nothing. So I knew it was my job. I knew it was up, but you know what? I also knew I was not going to blemish all these other men that I work with. So I went back to the boss. I said, I screwed up. I made this mistake. I blew the motor. I'm expecting to get fired. I'm not expecting mercy. I'm not expecting just because I told the truth to be kept on. I mean, I'm not, I didn't believe that much in this guy's mercy. But he did. He said, well, you know what? Steph, I really appreciate you telling me, but you're not driving my equipment anymore. Get a shovel. You can dig a ditch. So instead of the machine digging, I'm the one digging. It cost me, but I still had a job. What if I had not done that? That whole crew he'd be looking at the whole crew. And they'd be one, I didn't drive that. They'd figure it out sooner or later, right? So what does the crew do? If you're working with working men and they figure it out, because you know they will, do you really expect to stay safe on the job? Not with these guys. But I just did it because, you know what, I don't want this cloud. And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But, I mean, for your benefit, but it's always the best. And you know what those other men did after that? Hey, man, I can't believe you were stupid enough to tell them. But they would have once bought me coffee because I didn't try to pawn it off on the crew. And they also, as the days and the weeks and the year or so went on that I worked there, they also had a greater amount of respect for me. And it showed. It's what comes out of your mouth. Think before you speak. Think. What does the Word of God say? What's important to God? I guess that's the biggest message here. Not what I'm worried about somebody else being feeling bad over what I say. I'm much more concerned about God feeling bad. I'm much more concerned about God saying, he compromised again. He didn't stand up for me when he could have. That's the kind of stuff I think about. At any rate, in James chapter 3, I think these are the weightier matters. In James chapter 3, in verse 6, says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Man, isn't that one sentence says a lot, doesn't it? The tongue is a fire, it is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things of the sea is tamed and hath not been tamed of men and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, for it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith, with this tongue we bless God. Bless we God, even the Father. And therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. For out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Is this thing tough to deal with? Yeah. But this is the thing I had to focus on. I certainly haven't mastered it, have any of you? But this is what I ought to focus on. You know, is what comes out of my mouth what that which is godly or petty? That which comes out of my mouth, the things that God deems important or the things selfishness? Being unkind, prideful, arrogant. Just putting a brother or sister just down a little bit. Just so, you know, I am a little bit better here. That's just nasty. But it happens all the time, doesn't it? Happens all the time. That's more important. Words mean something. Our actions mean something. Those are more important. Not religious, outward things. It comes from within. Is much more important than what goes in or what covers. Or how an individual looks. One of the, talk about the way a guy looks. A long time ago, I was talking to someone about the Bible, and another guy walked up, and he was just an absolute disaster. I mean, you ever look, and you're sort of like, this guy looks so bad, and he smelled so bad. Hey, you know, you take, whoa, well, where'd this one come out of? What hole did this guy crawl out of? And I didn't know him, and you know, he just walked up to, I'm talking to this other fella, and it's just too normal. And this guy walks up, and it's like, took me back. And he looked like you want to get away from this guy. And he smelled like you wanted to get away from him. So what does your mind instantly do? It evaluates the situation, right? In my first evaluation, my first impression wasn't real positive. Really wasn't at all. It was absolutely, I'm put off. But make a medium-sized story real short. Turns out that he was just in a mess at the moment, and he had heard what I was speaking to the other men, and he just wanted to know something about the things of God. And he was a real sweet kind of fellow. He looked like the devil himself, but he was a sweet kind of man. A real nice guy. You just can't tell a book by its cover. You don't know what's coming. I've had other people that they look really good. And from the inside, this is like the last person you want to be with. They're more pungent on their inside than anybody could ever be on the outside. You know, most people, it's not until they open their mouth that you can really figure out what you got in front of you. So those judgments, you can't always look at the outside. You can't say this is holy because, wow, they're looking good. And you can't say this is evil because it's looking bad. Those are judgments men make. Those are men's traditions. Things we learn by but it doesn't always work that way. And certainly it's not the way God looks at things. And Colossians, just round it up here. See, what the Lord said, and this is pretty amazing, he said to them, whatever goes in, that don't defile a man. And remember, he's a Jew. Jewish law has a lot of things you shouldn't eat. But he said nothing that goes in defiles a guy. It's what comes out. In Colossians chapter 2, and I believe Jesus kept the law, but I also know he put the law of Moses in its right perspective. It says here in Colossians, Paul is confronting the believers. Just like he did in the book of Galatians. He's confronting them because they're getting sucked in. They're not keeping the Lord Jesus Christ as the head. They are not, in other words, they're starting to worship in vain. Not doing what the Lord said, not believing what the Lord had done for them. They're getting talked out of it. And he says to them in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is worldly wisdom. You can do this both intellectually and street smarts. Beware lest anybody out there with worldly wisdom. You know, how many times my particular was never the intellectual side. That's not where I grew up. I grew up on the street, you know, on the street smart side of life. How many times the things of the scripture would contradict the common sense of street smarts? And how many times, from an intellectual point of view, would the intellectual training contradict what the scripture said? They just don't fit together. Worldly wisdom and scripture just don't make any sense. You got to choose. So you beware, he says to the believers, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments, you know, the base things of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his words, his teachings, it tops everything. There is nothing more powerful than his words. There is nothing that will be able to withstand his judgment. Nothing. In heaven, on earth, under the earth. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You know, the circumcision of the Jews was they cut the foreskin, and it meant that you were waiting for the promise. You were part of that. I believe in the promise. I'm part of this. But that's just the outside. He's done it from the inside. Putting off the body of sin and flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, whom hath raised him from the dead. And you being in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, and he triumphed over them in it. The Lord has done all of this. It's a done deal. What Christ has done and accomplished for us, it's no longer on the outside. What he was dealing with the Pharisees with, all rules and regulation on the outside. And they missed the point of that teaching. They missed the point of the spiritual aspects of those teachings. They thought it was just religious action. What Christ has done for us, let's not lose that. Let's not get deceived by the philosophy and vain deceit of worldly wisdom, which is always pulling at us. It's always pulling at us. Let's recognize that what he did and he accomplished is complete. We're baptized, not because we're baptized with water, but we're baptized in his death. When he died, we died. When he was risen, we are risen. Am I there yet? No. But I will be, because I identify with him. See, this is what's important. What he accomplished is what's important. Not what the churches do in their kneeling or getting up or ringing a bell or water or robes. Those are never the important things. The building isn't important. Nothing of it is important. Do what you want. You want a big building, get a big building. You want a little one, get a little one. I don't care. God doesn't either. He's everywhere. He's in you. He's in you when you stink like heck. And he's in you when you're all dressed up. And he's blessed to be there. The Lord took all this out of the way. It says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy days or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. He's talking about all the things of the Old Testament law here. Don't worry about it, guys. Don't let anybody judge you in any of these things. Why? Because they had a purpose. Which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. See, the Old Testament, I've talked too long already. But all of that, all of the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, okay, the rules, the regulations, were not to get holy. They were to teach you of the true lessons that when the Lord would come, you would understand that he was the sacrifice, that it was his blood that cleansed you, that it's his. The promises that he made are yours. All of those things were a shadow, a type. The word is typos. It's a type. You know, when the old typewriter keys, before they came up with these computers, it was a great illustration. I don't think you've ever seen one. It was you'd hit the button, and a mechanical arm would come up with a letter on it, and it would strike the paper. And it would leave the impression of that letter on the paper. It was not that mold. It was not that mechanical that stayed there, that arm. It was just the ink from the impression. Got to think up a new illustration for this. That type, that's just a shadow of the key that you had. It's just a shadow. It's not the thing. It's just a shadow of it. All those things, they weren't there to make men holy. They were there to teach men and women what God was going to do in the Messiah that would make them holy. You know, when it came to the Sabbath, people think you're going to go to the hell if you don't come go to Sabbath on Sunday, right? Well, the truth of the matter is, men's traditions, we now do it on Sunday, many churches. But the truth of the matter is, the Hebrew Sabbath that God was talking about starts on Friday night. So who changed it to Sunday morning? Another one of man's traditions. So if you want to keep the Sabbath, start at sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday, because that's what the scripture talks about. We just read in Colossians, don't worry about it. Don't let anybody judge you as to the days, holy days, all the rest of it. Cups, all the rest. Why? Because those things were a shadow. They were the type. They were not that which makes men holy. This is what's important, not the traditions of men. There's more holes in men's traditions than Swiss cheese. And people who don't read and understand it for what it is, you know, really just put it together this way. They get talked out of it. They get talked out of it. They get hurt. And again, it's God is the one who is compromised. His words are diminished. Men's words are elevated. And God, it's for vain worship. Worthless worship. So think. Think before you speak. Think about what God thinks. You know, keep those things first and foremost, because that's what the issues of life come from, is from the heart. And you can always hear what's in your heart. You don't even have to think about it. You can hear what's in your heart when you hear what comes out of your mouth. That's what's in there. Amen.